And I've thought about Brother Kilgore and Sister Kilgore so much. I feel like part of them somehow. And I feel safe here. And I thought, how in the world would you really explain a man, Brother Kilgore? How? I paid him lots of compliments. I have sung his praises a lot of places. But today, I sort of think I put something together that I like best. I thought, he's just like a silver-haired Jesus. That's what he is. That's just what he's like. Don't you love his spirit? Aren't you glad for him? Oh, you are. Let's clap again for the Lord and worship the Lord together. Such an honor, such a privilege to be with all these great men of God and to meet the Garrisons. I really haven't got to spend much time with them, but I just like what I feel coming from them. And Jonathan and Stephanie Suber are some of my dearest friends in this world. I don't know how well you know Jonathan, but he's one of the greatest of the great. He has it together. He does. To the scriptures. In the book of Acts, chapter 2. From the book of Acts, chapter 2, I want to read sketchily. The Bible says, in verse 1 of chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. It sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you look in verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. If you look at verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 39, it's promised. 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The Bible says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread. If you look at verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I could read many verses from this book of Acts. In some places they fell dead. Other places there were tremendous miracles of healing. I simply want to entitle this tonight, Coming to America. Would you lift your hands and your hearts and your voices one more time? And would you cry to the Lord that God will have his will and his way tonight in this place? Porica resho de lehera brahasha. Pudanohara breco de recoro brejo to koraha. Hallelujah, Jesus. I praise you tonight because you are God. I thank you for the quickening of your spirit that is in this house. I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl. I pray, O God, tonight for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, for the authority of Almighty God. I pray tonight that you will have your will and your way among us, that signs and wonders and miracles will happen here tonight. I release the gift of faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, that you will do the thing that you desire to do. Look at all the fasting. Hear all the preaching and the preparation for this moment in time. And walk into this house tonight and help us to hear the sound of the rushing mighty wind. Help us to hear the crackle of covenant tongues of fire. We will not fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask all of these things in the wonderful, matchless, all-powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. You may be seated. Would you clap with your hands? Would you shout with your voice as you are seated tonight in this house where His majesty reigneth, where His name is supreme, where His power is glorious, and where angels ascend and descend, because we have gathered together tonight in the name that is above every name, even the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven has been alerted. The powers of hell are shaking, because greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. Thus it is written, and thus it is, and none can alter it, nor can they change it. That ought to bring you out of your seat. That ought to bring you to your feet. It ought to put a clap in your hands. It ought to put a shout in your feet, because He's alive. He's alive inside of us. Alive forevermore. Hallelujah, Jesus. I have read to you tonight from the word of the Lord. In the margin of my Bible, it says 33 A.D. We are here tonight in 1991, and we look back to 33 A.D., and we rejoice, and we look at all of that, and it brings great inspiration to us. But what was it all about in the beginning? I can tell you that in the beginning, based upon the authority of the Word of God, that in the beginning, Pentecost was a wind. It was a fire. It was a shaking. It was a zeal. It was a burning. It was such a desire that people sold all that they had and put it into some common fund. It was the laying down of their lives. It was two falling dead. It was a shadow passing by. And when the shadow touched those upon whom it rested, they leaped from their beds of affliction. And there was a wake of turmoil and excitement. You'll never make me believe in the days of Jesus and in the days of the apostles that those that were healed simply stood to their feet and said, "Hey, thanks," and walked off. It was not like that. They ran into the temple leaping and shouting. They tore everything to pieces. You could not keep them quiet. One of the problems with us is we pray and pray and pray and howl and cry, and God does it, and we don't make enough out of it. Let me tell you something. If He took a headache away, you ought to be on your feet and thanking God. If He took a cancer out of your body, you ought to write it up for the newspaper. We ought to make a great big deal out of this, because you'll never clap enough. You'll never shout enough. You'll never run enough. You'll never dance enough. You'll never do anything enough to thank Him for His divine intervention into the lives of such as us. Oh, clap again and rejoice tonight in the presence of your God, who has come into this place alive. Hallelujah. Pentecost, in the beginning, was a prison being visited by angels. It was a prison crumbling. It was captured singing. And even the walls, even the bars, could not resist the power of those voices that sang the songs of Zion. Pentecost, in the beginning, was Herod falling dead from a throne and being eaten by worms. It was a conversation with angels. It was Cornelius' household being
being visited by an angel. It was the prayers of a Gentile reaching a memorial state until the God of heaven could not refrain himself from this Gentile man. And he sent an ambassador from heaven's portals. An angel of God came and spake to him. You've heard enough of Brother Garrison to understand that whether others believe it or not, angels are still ministering in this hour, and they are still present in the affairs of men and women, because that book has never changed. Neither have his precepts or his concepts. Angels are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation, and that is me, and that is you. And as there's at least one angel here tonight, because I brought mine with me when I came into this sanctuary, my angel is in this house. It is written, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them out of their troubles. This house then is filled with the angels of the Lord tonight in this place. And there's a vibration, there is a reverberation, there is a power, there is a shaking, there is a breath, there is a wind, there is a fire, there is a trembling. There is something here tonight that transcends human logic and reasoning and understanding. It's the breath of God. It's the touch of God. It's the hand of God. It's the footfall of God. It's the Savior of the world. I feel a madness inside of me, a kind of madness, a kind of uncontrolled fervor that cannot be quieted. It is literally like a fire that is shut up in our bones, and I cannot contain it. I am unable to contain what I feel.
Pentecost, in the beginning, was a man standing in chains. It was a Felix who trembled. Pentecost, in the beginning, was the kind of preaching that caused either a revival or a riot. Every place they went, there was either revival or a riot. They preached it without fear or favor. They did not care what anybody thought. They had seen it. They had touched it. They had felt it. They knew that it was alive, and they were not making any apologies to anybody. Neither the high court, neither the Sanhedrin, neither the political rulers, the Romans or all the rest of them. They had seen it. They had felt it. They had touched it. It was alive to them. They knew him. He was no longer dead. He was alive. That's the problem with so-called Christianity. They're still worshiping, most of them, a dead figure hanging upon a crucifix. But the good news is that the crucifix is empty. But my heart is full. He is alive inside of me. He is alive inside of you tonight. He's alive inside of us. He's not some dead cold figure. He is a living, penetrating, pulsating, life-giving force that comes straight from the heart and throne of Almighty God into the affairs of men and women in this present hour. We've got to get a hold of something that we've never had a hold of before. We've got to get a hold of it like we've never had a hold of it before. They preached it. They preached it without fear or favor. Paul was either running for his life in a basket trying to escape in the night, or they were falling on his neck begging him to stay another day, another week, another month, another year. Sometimes I really feel that we do not preach it hard enough. Sometimes I feel that we pat it. We are so concerned about hurting people's feelings. We don't want to offend anybody. And I know all of that is noble and good, but I've come here tonight to say to you,
You don't get anybody saved until you first get them lost. You do not ever get them saved until they first realize that they are lost. And friend of mine, I don't care how much money you've got. I don't care what your status in life is, who your influential friends are, how much money you've got in the bank account. If you do not have this man called Jesus, you are a pauper. You are a pauper. You have nothing if you do not have him, because he is the best of everything. He is the noblest of gifts. He is the choicest of prizes. He is the lover of your soul. He is the savior of your soul. His name is wonderful. It's like a counselor. It's mighty. His name is glorious. More glorious than the stars that sprinkle the night. More illuminous than the sun that rises on the horizon. There is no word. There is no word. There are no phrases that can ever put him into a proper categorization where you can really see him. But I can feel him, and that's enough for me. I can feel him, and that's enough for me. And when my tongue cannot tell it, I can speak with tongues. I can speak with tongues. What my human words cannot say, I can speak with tongues. For the Spirit knows how to pray. If you've got the Holy Ghost tonight, let the Holy Ghost speak through you. Throw your hands in the air. Throw your head back. And let the Holy Ghost come out, because he's alive in there. Entertain that. Entertain it for just a moment. Let it pour out of you. Let it pour out of you. Let this Holy Ghost pour out of you. Give him voice. Give him place in your life, in this church tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Don't you feel better? If it could be that good now, what would it be like if you did it just a little bit more? Why don't you try it? Why don't you lift your hands again? Why don't you let your voice out again? Why don't you let the Holy Ghost speak through your vessel again? It is like a wind. It does clear out the mind. It does clear out the soul. It does make a way for something more to come in. It does make a way for something new to come into your soul and into your heart. You need to speak with tongues every day of your life. You need to practice this Holy Ghost. You need to practice this thing in the morning time, in the noon time, in the evening time, in the night time. You need to practice this anytime. Driving down the highway, at work, under your breath, in the restroom, in the restaurant. You need to practice this Holy Ghost, because he is the answer to the problems of life. He is the answer. He's the refreshing. He is the rest. He is the bread. He is the water. He is the drink. He is the shade. He is the deliverance. He is the Savior. And so we need to practice it like we've never practiced it, and make no apologies to anybody. Yes, I'm one of them. Yes, I do speak with tongues. Yes, it is God. No, this did not come from the devil. Yes, this came from heaven, because the Bible says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. There came a sound from heaven. It was not a sound from hell. It was a sound from heaven. It was the breath of Almighty God. It wasn't just a mountain shaking now. It was the framework of humanity. God never did want to rest on a mountain. He never did want to live in a box. He wanted to get inside some human heart. He wanted to get inside some human soul so he could act like this, so he could have a body, so he could do what he wanted to do in this world. That's what he always wanted. And now he's got it. And guess what? I'm one of them. I'm one of them that he always wanted. I'm one of them that he always desired. Does anybody feel like yelling? Does anybody just feel like yelling? Does anybody want to wake up? Wake up, my soul. Wake up, my soul. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I cannot live without it. I can't live without it. I can't live without it. In the beginning, it was a running by night. It was crowds milling. It was the kind of preaching. They got so mad in one place, they tore their clothes off and picked up dirt and food in the air. They made it, created a human dust storm because of the kind of preaching that was going on. That is exactly the kind of preaching that we need to have again in this present hour. It was either revival then or riot. And I can tell you tonight, because I travel, there is a riot building in our ranks. There's a riot building. There's a riot building. And it's the best kind of riot, because it's going to separate out the men from the boys. I talked to Brother Barnes this morning because I thought I need the word from the Lord. He said, Brother Stone King, if a split ever comes, you can never lay this to the charge of any man. God's going to cause the split because he wants it. He's going to have a group of people that want the real thing. He's going to have a group of people that want the real power. He's going to have a group of people that want the real thing, because he's tired of the rest. He is sick to his stomach of the politics and the hatred and the jealousy and the envy. God is weary with it, but he wants somebody that will step out and say, what thus saith the Lord. He wants angels to ascend and descend. He wants to build Abraham's ladder again, and he's going to have it, and somebody's going to do it. 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 It might as well begin right here tonight in Life Tabernacle and spread to the four corners of the earth. It could happen with you. It started with 120. There's more than 120 here tonight. Something bigger than us. It's in the making. Something bigger. Yes. Jesus, 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 I can promise you here tonight, as a man of God, if you're having trouble, you can mark it down that you're on the right track. You must be doing something that is causing the devil to have a nervous breakdown. If there is something going upside down in your life, you can mark it down that you are a threat to the devil, because he fights the hardest where he fears the most. And he must be mightily afraid of some of the likes of you. He doesn't know what to do with you. He couldn't do anything in the beginning, and he sure isn't going to do anything in the end. He's not big enough. He's not powerful enough. He's not omnipresent. He doesn't have the backing. But we've got the backing of heaven. We've got the backing of the host of heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ tonight on his throne is for you. He's for you. He's for you. He's for you. He's for me. He's for you, son. He's for us. So why don't we just let it all hang out and do it? We've got nothing to lose, everything to gain. Nothing to lose, everything to gain. It's all coming down. Everything is coming down. The world governments are coming down. The whole thing is being shaken. But the church is not going to be shaken. The church is going to be solid, because we are built on a rock. 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 And his name is a name which has no equal. His name is the name that will withstand the storms of life. What is his name? Say it again. And again.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
In the beginning, it was the kind of urgency, it was the kind of burden that Paul wrote and said, I did it every day and every night for the space of 3.5 years with much weeping and much crying. There is a weeping coming in upon us. There is a burden coming in upon us. And as I stated last night, we're at a crossroads in this. We've got to decide as a people. We've got to decide as a movement. Do we want the power of God, or do we want something else? We've come too far now to settle for something else. We might as well push this on through. But we've got to push. We've got to push. Because there are those that do not want it. And there are those that will will not have it. But Jesus is saying, do it for me. Just somebody do it for me. Just somebody go and say it. Just somebody extend a hand. Just somebody stand and make a declaration. Just somebody go. Just somebody go. Because if you will go, I will go with you. If you lay hands upon them, they will recover. You're going to speak with new tongues. You're going to lay hands on them, and devils will be cast out. Those are the kinds of promises that we have. These signs shall follow them that believe. I don't know about you, but I consider myself to be a believer. I'm a believer in the truest sense, because I have repented of my sins, and they have been forgiven, and I have been to water in Jesus' name, and I did come out of there with the resurrection power, and I do have the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight, and I do understand and know, and I'm altogether convinced that there is only one God, and His name is Jesus, and that we are to be a holy people, a separated people, a sanctified people, a peculiar people, a royal household, a treasure above anything else that is in this world. So me worry and me fret and me be downcast. Not me, not on your life. I've got Him, and He's alive. He is alive inside of me. He is able to do anything and everything and all things, and nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. I am a believer. If you are, and if you can mean it, would you shout, I am a believer? I have always wanted so much. I've always wanted so much to see all the things I read about in the book of Acts when I was first converted. And I tried to recount in my mind today the various things that I have seen and the times that I have waxed bold in the Lord, and tried in my head this afternoon to compare them with some of the things I found in the book of Acts. And I think maybe I've scratched the surface a little bit. And I think maybe that there's a whole lot more under the surface. And I think maybe tonight we're going to break a hole in the surface. I just want us to break a real hole in the surface. I want us to crack the thing wide open here tonight. I would to God we could carry some of you out of here drunk on the Holy Ghost until you had to be carried home and put to bed. I would to God that the altar service would go on till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, that you would not be able to stop drinking at the fountain. I preached a message to you here in January. I preached a message in January. Step up to the bar. Just step up to the bar, because the drinks are on the house. You can drink as much as you want here tonight. You can get drunk as a hoot owl. You can just stagger out of here. But there'll be no hangover tomorrow. There'll just be joy. There'll just be deliverance. There'll just be more happiness. There'll just be more praise and more worship, because you'll never get enough of this. It's like being a mainliner, and we've come here tonight to get a fix. I've come to get a fix, and I can tell you I'm getting it. I can feel something flowing in my body, Jonathan. It is really like a fire. It's like something more glorious. Well, can you hear me? This is better than a drink. This is better than a shot. This is better than a smoke. This is better than anything else out there. This is better. This is better. And most of you have had it at one time or another. So you ought to be on your feet tonight, giving attestation and acclamation to a statement like that. Do we have it, or do we not have it? Is it real, or is it not real? Is he the same, or is he something else? Are we just a counterpart of something that was more glorious, and we have settled down to a lesser status? Or can we relate? Can we connect to? Can we connect with that sound of the rushing mighty wind in an upper room nearly 2,000 years ago? Can we still pull down the cloven tongues of fire and feel the warmth and hear the crackle?
Sometimes, I don't know if I should tell this or not, but I'm going to tell it. I know it's on tape, but I'm going to tell it. You may be seated. Sometimes you wonder if you're doing enough or not. Sometimes you wonder if you're making any impact or not. Sometimes you wonder if you're getting the job done or not. Sometimes you wonder if it's all happening the way it's supposed to happen. No matter what you do, sometimes it doesn't please everybody. You just can't please everybody all the time. And as hard as you try, you keep doing the thing that you're supposed to do. And you meet all kinds of this or that or something else. And so you wonder if you're really getting the job done. Brother Barnes called me a couple months ago, and I called him this morning to have him retell me the story again. I just wanted to hear the story again. And this is what he told me. He told me at the women's conference this year in Tioga, Louisiana, he said a woman walked up to him and said, "I've always wanted to meet you. You are T.W. Barnes." And he said, "Yes, I am." She said, "I've always wanted to meet you." He said, "Well, why?" She said, "Because," she said, "I am a preacher. I come from New York City." She said, "I laid hands on a devil-possessed woman and began to rebuke the devil in Jesus' name." And she said, "The devil spoke out of her to me and said, 'T.W. Barnes, I know, and Lee Stone King, I know, but who are you?'" I said, "Brother Barnes, I must be doing something right. I must be doing something right. If he knows who we are, then he's taken time to follow along behind to see what it is that we are doing to wreak havoc in his kingdom. We must be doing something right. Let me tell you something. When everything seems to be going wrong, it's going right. When the answer doesn't seem to be coming, it's coming. When the devil seems to be winning, he's losing. That's how it really is. That's how it really is. That's how it really is. And I can tell you tonight, the devil knows who you are. The devil knows who you are, Brother Garrison. He knows who you are, Brother. Brother, he knows, Brother Kilgo, who you are. He knows who you guys are. He knows who you are, Jonathan. He knows who you are. He knows. And I'm so glad he knows. I'm so glad he knows. I'm so glad he knows. We are doing it. We are getting the job done. Oh, clap your hands and shout with your voice. I tried to recount some things today that might encourage your heart tonight, because I'm no better than you are. I'm just exactly like you are. And if I can do it, you can do it. If God will do it for me, he will do it for you. I am not better than you are. I am just like you. And so if God will do it for me, he will do it for you. Oh, you don't seem to believe that, but it is true anyhow. It's true anyhow. If you've got the Holy Ghost, friend, if you've spoken with tongues, you're a stick of dynamite. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you're a holy terror to the devil, because you've got the power. You've got the power. You've got the power. Yeah, some of you do believe it. Some of you do believe it. Some of you really do believe it. You are getting a hold of it.
Can you feel it? 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 Can you feel the fire? You can feel it, Ron Dilda. You can feel it because you've got it. That's why you can feel it, because you've got it. Because you've got it. Why don't you lay hands on the person next to you tonight and shake him up a little bit? Why don't you just lay hands on the person next to you and shake him up a little bit? Why don't you pray in Jesus' name? Why don't you ask for a blessing? Why don't you ask for a healing? Why don't you ask for a deliverance? You are a believer. Yeah. Can you feel any power moving through this line? Can you feel any power moving through this line? Can you feel any power moving through this line? Can you feel health and strength? Can you feel healing virtue? Can you feel a fresh anointing? Can you feel that you're being called tonight? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? That's why you can lie down on the floor, son, and lower your head to the carpet, because you can feel it, because it's alive. It's going to eat you up before this thing is over. Go ahead and minister. Go ahead and minister. Go ahead and minister. I don't know if I'm going to get to my punchline or not. But I suppose it doesn't really matter. And it doesn't really matter if I tell you all the stories that I've seen and what God has done for me. But the important thing is this. I want you to know that I esteem Brother and Sister Garrison. They have my highest respect, my greatest regards. And Jonathan Suber, who has lived among them with his young wife and have no toilet facilities and taken baths out of buckets but prayed dozens through to the Holy Ghost in hot tropical weather. I tell you, I've heard of the miracles about the Thompsons and their ministry. I've heard about Brother Tacklemarian. I've heard about all the things that happen in the Freeman's ministry, and I love it and I like it, but I want to see something else happen. I want to see it come to America, and I believe it's coming. I believe it's beginning to come. I believe that this service is evidence of it. As I recount what God has done for me, it is coming. It is beginning to happen. He is doing things in this country. The lame are walking in this country. People are getting out of wheelchairs in this country. Eyes are seeing that are blind. Deaf ears are hearing. Braces are coming off of little children's legs. Deaf ears are snapping open. And the deaf are hearing. It's coming to America. It's coming to America. It's coming to America. We're going to have our own story.